You work and then go home. You catch the same train, the same bus. The routine lulls you into a grey stance. A groundhog day, lather, rinse, repeat, cycle of ennui. And just occasionally, your soul becomes enlivened with a chance encounter, and possibilities create a moment. At work, I live on the fifth floor, and she lives on the ninth. Dark and mysterious, we pass in the corridor just occasionally, and our eyes always meet as she glides past in a gentle waft of perfume and sandalwood. There's a sadness there, but a graceful confidence in how she moves, someone at peace with who they are. I was late today, and I rode the lift, muttering frustrated words under my breath. A six-person lift, the thing is always breaking down, but at this moment I'm just glad it's working. Damn thing goes ping in the way that house bricks don't, and doors open. She pauses, catches my glance, and steps inside, selecting her floor, saying nothing, as always, having stepped to one side, and then steps in front of me, with her back turned, my space is invaded, and a glance sidewards, as if a mote of dust had caught her attention. I can smell her. I can almost feel her body heat as it radiates. And then my floor comes, and I step aside and leave. Later, coming back from a meeting, and we meet again as the lift decides to intervene. I'm leaning against a different corner this time, but she steps inside and chooses to stand close, but without touching. This time, I sigh slowly, as I realize she knows exactly what she's doing, and yet it is so beguiling. There's an unspoken edge to the atmosphere, because an atmosphere there is. And my floor comes, and I step aside and leave. Hours later, after one more joust with human resources, and I stomp angrily into the lift, willing to kick kittens this time. Ping! She is unveiled by the lift doors, and she raises her eyebrows slightly as she catches my glance once more, this time with a gentle smile. Presses 9, no word spoken, and the lift lurches once more into action. She sighs and stands, if possible, even closer this time, almost touching by a molecule, and yet not quite. At the fifth, the doors ramp open. She looks to her right, expecting movement. Not this time. Doors close and I stay. I could so easily just reach out and gently kiss the back of her neck, or shift position and brush against her. But I don't. I want to fuel the situation. At the ninth, she briefly looks to her side and stays standing. We're so close, waiting for each other to make a move, yet knowing that we won't, explicitly enjoying the moment of anticipation, enjoying that flutter. We can both hear our breathing changing as we react to this situation. Someone calls the lift back to the ground floor, but impatience has driven them away. The air around us is just coursing with unspoken desires as the doors close, and even the lift seems to be waiting for resolution. She shifts her hips almost imperceptibly, creating the slightest of an arch to her back, reaching up to tuck a loose hair behind her ear, then gently running a fingertip down the side of her neck, slower and slower, until she seems to be just pointing to me and waiting. This woman, this angel, this magic, she knows exactly how this torment is almost telepathic now. And I almost break as she hears me reach up to brush that lingering fingertip, and I sense her holding her breath. So I paused. The moment stretches deliciously, and I watch her shoulders as her breath quickens, and my power now is complete. This is a moment of surrender, of yielding, of trust and complicity, an unspoken contract established right there in the heat. She sighs gently. The spell is broken as the doors open and in steps a colleague, coffee in hand. My companion inquires which floor is required and steps forward an aching distance away from me to press her button and the forthcoming request of 3, please. The stranger is oblivious of the situation he stumbled across and the aftermath of unfolding as papers are shuffled impatiently till he then leaves at his floor and the doors close once again. But this time, she turns to face me, leaning back against the doors, shifting weight to one leg and crossing her front feet in that sexy girlish manner that men adore. Her eyes are shining, her neck is flushed, and we all know what that means. And we simply gaze at what we've just created. She knows I'm not going to the fifth floor. And at the ninth, she stepped backwards into her corridor, her face glowing with a conspiratorial grin. Well played, sir. But we're only going to call that 1-0. I nod my head with a sly, gentle wink and reply, "It was a pleasure, but you already know that." "Oh God, yes," she adds with the faintest of blushes, swiveling to return to real life. And the doors closed, and I got to my destination, softly shaking my head at the absurdities of life. But today was a good day to be a human being, because sometimes you just have to deny yourself in order to be free.